Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
So good to make it this far, and I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away, and it hurt so much I didn't have words. feels so good to make it this far. And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit, and I said, surely this is it. But I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life, Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen, and all the moments I know, Lord, it was you who kept me. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my every victory in you I've seen. Oh, and for the moment, God, I know you kept me. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for my life. I realize some didn't make it. I could have been one of the ones who lost my way. And there were times, Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Oh, but I'm still here, oh, with my life. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me through. Thank you for, I know it was you, God. I just wanna take the time to say thank you, Jesus. Oh,
Tonight.
You won hallelujah away from your breakthrough. Don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion. Don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level. Don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God blowing your
Well, good evening, listeners. It is now the 8:30 hour, and God has allowed us to be here one more time. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you on Wednesday night, and I'm so grateful and thankful that you took time out of your schedule to come to be together tonight to explore the Word of God. Well, last week we did Malachi, the first chapter, and tonight we're going to do Malachi, the second chapter. So I pray that you read your scriptures, and were you ready for us to explore the Word of God together? At this time, we need to open up with prayer and thank God for this week that we are able to meet back again. And we should give him praise and honor for allowing us this opportunity to explore the Word together. You know, there's plenty of things we could be doing right now, but we have decided and became committed to come together on Wednesday night at 8:30 to explore the Word of God together. God honors that. So at this time, if there's anyone who would like to bring us through to the throne of grace, and we'll start with our prayer, and after that, we'll go into the lesson, and maybe I'll play a song. But if there's anyone who would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, let us go into the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God that's the love of our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, I just have to thank you because in your ultimate wisdom, you decided to allow us to come together tonight. And Holy Spirit, I'm letting you know we're going to start this program tonight and we have a spirit of expectancy. We expect you to show up and have your way and illuminate and revelate for your people. Allow your word to become real in their heart. Dear God, let us not, you know, bring shame unto your name as saying we one of yours and live in any kind of way. Heavenly Father, we need you and we can't make it without you. Lord, we know there are no perfect people, but Christ Jesus is the perfect one. Lord, teach us, lead us, and guide us into all righteousness and truth. Lord, that we may give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. Bless everyone that's calling in, and bless the ones that wanted to, dear God, and the ones that even forgot. Bless them, dear God, and the blessings they need of. Bless their homes, their family, their children, their finances, dear God, their health. Hallelujah. Bless they going in and they coming out, dear God. Watch over them, protect them, give them favor, dear God. And we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those who have your Bibles, we are in Malachi and we're going to do the entire second chapter. And the title of this lesson is There is Nothing New Under the Sun. There's Nothing New Under the Sun, Part 2. You know, the reason I decided to write this, because when I was in the book of Malachi, I was seeing what the people in that time was doing. Now, Malachi was way back in the Old Testament, and it is the last book of the Old Testament. So it made me wonder, you know, for God to let Malachi the prophet, to speak to Malachi the prophet in the last book of Revelation, I imagine that what he had to say was serious, you know, because from Genesis to Malachi, God has always been instructing and telling people what he expected and what to do and what not to do. And here now, the last book in the Old Testament, it's almost like God say, look, I'm going to tell you again, you know, because, you know, it don't seem like you have it. But he used the prophet Malachi to bring the message to the people. And it was the last book in the Old Testament. You see, us as modern-day Christians, we can look at the Bible, and we know it's 66 books. And when we look at it, we see 39 chapters in the Old Testament, and we realize that the Old Testament ends. And then the New Testament began, which has 27 books. And you have to sometimes stop and wonder. I think that the last chapter in the Old Testament have some serious information. So we're going in Malachi, the second chapter tonight. And as we read it, you're going to see things that people were doing then that they are still doing now. And that's what prompted the title, There's Nothing New Under the Sun. And here we go into the lesson, and if you have your Bible, follow with us. Follow with me. You see, God created a perfect world and placed the first human in it. This is my introduction, my background. You see, Adam and Eve was in it. He placed them in the world, telling them they should not eat anything except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, warning them that if they eat of it, they would surely die. And lo and behold, that's what happened. Do you see here where God always give a warning? He lets us know what's expected and what to do. And he even take time to say, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. So, you know, that's fair. You see, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, and death, the wages of sin, entered the world through that first sin with Adam and Eve. And after that, all human sins then are dying. Because of man's failure and disobedience, God, this me not, God say all bets is off. You know, he had fixed it where they didn't have to work and they didn't have to wonder what was going to happen. He provided all their needs and they was in the garden and everything was lovely, and they disobeyed, and it just seemed to me, he said, okay, as far as this is concerned, all bets are off. You see, sin entered, and Adam and Eve was expelled out of paradise. And as we know, the rest is history. Mankind received a sin nature, and sin separated us from having a loving relationship and a perfect fellowship with the Almighty God. You see, God knew that man was fallen, because you got to remember, God is all knowing. A lot of people get confused with that. They say, if God know what we're going to do or not do, what sense it make to pray, and what sense it mean make to ask, and what sense it make to do this or do that. If God is all-knowing and is already predestined, and if it's already going to happen, that's not what the scriptures say. They say God is all-knowing. In other words, he know what you would do or wouldn't do. You have to remember, God made us free moral agents to decide and to choose. And because of that, we have the right to choose to do right, wrong, or whatever we want. But God, when he created the world, and I like to say it like this, when he said in Genesis 1, let, God had seen everything all the way through eternity. That's why God said he could meet you wherever you are. That's why God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible say, no matter where you go, God is there. They say, if you go in the pits of hell, he's there. If you go to heaven, he's there. Wherever you go, because God is all everywhere at the same time. He's all-knowing and he's all-powerful. That's his attributes. And before the foundation of the world, God had a master plan for the redemption of mankind. His redemption plan was before the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve sinned, but he knew they would sin, and he had a plan to redeem mankind unto himself. Because you got to remember, sin separated us from God, and God can't dwell in the presence of sin. You see, God instituted a system of sacrifices through the law. Because the lesson that we own with Malachi, a lot of the rebuke in these chapters is against the priest. And the priest was the ones to do the sacrifices. That's why I took time to say why the sacrifices system became a part of life and why it was necessary. And you see, God instituted the system of sacrifices through the law. God commanded the nation of Israel, what was his chosen people. See, when God decided, before the 12 tribes of Israel and before the Israelites got to the promised land, God didn't have a nation. And he said he wanted a nation. And he chose the Jews, and they became the Israelites, which became God's holy nation. But God commanded the nation of Israel to perform numerous sacrifices because sin had entered the world. He couldn't dwell among his people. You couldn't have a relationship. So he said, according to to certain procedures described by God. He wanted them to do the sacrifices the way he wanted them to do it. First, the animal had to be spotless. Second, the person offering a sacrifice had to qualify with the, had to identify with the animal. And third, the person offering the animal had to inflict debt upon it. When done in faith, this sacrifice provided a temporary covering of sin. It couldn't remove the sin. That's why they had to keep sacrificing over and over and over again. So that's how the sacrifice, the sacrificial system came into place. That's why God did it after sin had entered into the world. He still wanted a way to deal with his people. He said, so, okay, for sin, they have to be shedding the blood. So he said, you know, they took the blood of the animals and stuff, and God said, okay, I'll let this be a temporary solution. He said, but somebody's got to do it, and it's got to be somebody I want. And that's when he ordained the priest. This is where, wow, and where, why, and how the priest came in. From the time of Adam's fall, sin had separated man and God, and people needed a mediator to help them find, if no more than temporary, forgiveness. God chose and ordained the priest to be the mediator. You see, God chose the tribe of Levite from the 12 tribes of Israel. And those that's familiar with the 12 tribes of Israel was the children of Jacob, and Jacob's name was turned to Israel, and they became the Israelites, and that became God's holy nation. And all through history in the Old Testament, God was trying to get the people to act like they were chosen, to realize their blessings. You see, God chose the tribe of Levi. The Levitical priesthood began with Adam. The Levitical priesthood began with Aaron, the oldest brother of Moses. Remember when God chose Moses to go free the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses had a lot of complaining, like many of us do. Moses had a stutter in his voice, and he said, you know, I can't go because I stutter, and the people are going to laugh at me, and I don't speak eloquently, and, you know, I'm not educated, and he went on and on. But God said, I chose you. And what you got to remember, even with Moses, whenever God choose you to do something, don't be fearful, don't walk away, because if God chose you to do it, he already provided the provisions. And when Moses thought he couldn't speak enough, God said, take your brother Aaron and let him speak for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? You see, and just for information's sake, I want to let you know that back then, priests were allowed to be married and had families. So when you read about the different priests in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they had wives and families. But you see, the priest was taken care of by God. And I really, after reading and studying this, I really, really believe that God took care of the priest. And if God take care of you, you know you're taking care well. And with God taking care of the priest and providing their every need, it should have not been any reason that they went astray and start doing things that wasn't pleasing God, allow greed to set in, and more wanting more than they needed. God took care of the priest. You see, when God divided the land and everybody got some, he didn't give any land to the priest because he said, I will supply your every need. And as the scriptures say, according to his riches and glory. You see, when people came to make sacrifices, and all sacrifices was not just animals and the blood. Some people brought food and vegetables and different things like that. So whenever someone would come to sacrifice something, like they had a cow and they cut off certain parts that went to God and went on the altar, but the rest of it was given to the priests so that they could eat and take care of their families. God was supplying their need. The Leviticus priesthood was never intended to be permanent. We have to remember that because you have to follow the master plan of God. You have to follow the mood of God so you could truly understand the word of God and you could understand, not fully, but whatever God reveals to us, we could understand that portion of the mind of God. So you got to remember the Levitical priesthood that was all through the Old Testament that we studied last week in this way, it was never to be permanent. The law was put in place to point out our sins, not to totally forgive them. You see, without the law, you got to remember it, the law was not always in place. The law was not given until the Israelites was about to go into the promised land. So there was no law. So what was the rule that what you did, if it was wrong or not? But God said, since you're going to be my people, I'm giving you the promised land. I'm going to set up some rules and regulations that appoint you to your wrongdoing, and hopefully you get it right, and we could go on. You see, the law was put in place to point out our sins. That's why they say in today's time that the law is not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. You know, they say there's a 70-mile speed limit on the highway, and anybody with sense shouldn't want to drive that much faster. But because there are people that would be driving 100 and 120 miles, they put a law into effect that the speed limit is 70. But a sensible person and a righteous person probably wouldn't want to drive faster than that anyway. You see, the priest was to be holy and show godly character for examples as how to live for God. You know, if they was in their rightful place and doing it right, they would have been a good example. But by Malachi days, we see in the scripture, man was failing, even the priest. And we have to say, there's nothing new under the sun. You see, but what happened with this system that was in place, the sacrificing, the priests, God knew, which was under the law, God knew that no man in and of himself could do the law and sacrifices enough to be saved, because it was never intended to take away the sins totally. So God, by God loving on his people, he wanted to make an even and better, more perfect way. But you got to remember that it was designed in his master's plan before the foundation of the world. But the plan is just unfolding. See, what we're doing is seeing God's plan unfold before our eyes daily. You know, there's a record out, God, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Are you looking for the change in the seasons? Are you looking for the change of God? You know, they say as many things in the Bible that's been in the Bible, but we could just understand it now because there's secrets. And God said it didn't make sense for me to give it to you 3 years ago because you couldn't comprehend it anyway. It was not in his season and his time. But you see, the death of Christ put an end to the Old Testament covenant, the Old Testament law. And the Leviticus priesthood, he put an end to all of that. The death of Christ put an end to the old covenant, which was the law and the Levitical priesthood. And how you say he did it? Remember in the temple, for those that's familiar with it, there was a temple and it had a first opening in a temple a second, and then they had the holies of holies. You see, people could go in the first part, but they wasn't allowed in the second part because only the priest could go there. And then the third part, only the high priest could go in there. And they had a curtain. They said a curtain was bigger than so many football fields. They said a curtain was so heavy you need about 600 men on each side to just pull it open. I'm talking about heavy and big. And you see, they say God's presence was behind that curtain. And the only person could go in there was the high priest. Come on, y'all. And the high priest could go in there and make atonement for the people and their sins. You see, only that priest could go in there. And that curtain separated the people from God because of the sin that was created by Adam and Eve. You see, I said sin separates you from God. So we didn't have access to God. We was behind the curtain. We couldn't just go to God for ourselves. We couldn't have a relationship with God. We had to go to the priest who became a mediator between God and the people and the people and God. You see, but when Jesus came, and then they had the written of the temple veil. When you read about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, when Jesus was on the cross and when he said, "It is finished," they say that curtain, that veil tore from the top to the bottom. And when that curtain tore from the top and the bottom, God said everybody have access. We could have one-on-one. You don't need to go to the priest. Jesus became our high priest, which is our mediator with God, because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for our behalf. But that curtain was torn. Do you know a curtain was there and it separated us? But the temple veil, as they call it, was torn from the top to the bottom, which gave us access to God. For those who want to read it, it's in Matthew 27 and 51. You see, oh, hallelujah, I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the veil being removed. You can't never thank God for the veil being removed if you didn't know there was a veil and that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ removed it. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus himself served as our great high priest of the new covenant, which is grace. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have access to God's presence. We now have the ability to have a one-on relationship with him where we can freely enjoy him for ourselves forever. Thank God for Jesus. That's the background. And now, you know, and then if I just put it in a nutshell of what I said. You see, animal sacrifices was commanded by God so that the individual could experience temporary forgiveness of sin. See, the people needed something, and it wasn't Jesus' time. See, you got to understand about time. You see, it's not about our time. It's about God's time. You see, we have to realize God had a whole master plan, and it unfolded in his perfect timing. So God decided to do nothing because he's God, but he decided to do something for the people, even though it was temporary, until the ultimate came. So it was God commanded. You know, sacrifice was commanded by God for temporary forgiveness of sins. You see, the animal served as a substitute. That is, the animal died in place of the sinner, which only provided a temporary solution. That's why the sacrifices needed to be offered over and over and over. Whenever you did something, you got to bring something else. Whenever you did something, you got to bring something else. Whenever you did something, you got to bring something else. Whenever you did something, you have to bring something else, and so on and so on and so on. You see, animal sacrifices had stopped with Jesus' death because Jesus paid the price in full. And Jesus' perfect sacrifice paid the debt in full. The scriptures say Jesus took the sting out of debt. And Jesus paid the full price. All to him we owe. And they say we got grace, which is God's riches at Jesus Christ's expense. You see, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice substitute once and for all, and is now the only mediator between God and us. And if you want a scripture to back it up, because this is Bible study, John 14 and 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the life. No one cometh to the Father. And if here we go into the lesson. We're on Malachi 1. I'm going to read 1 and 2. They say, and now, O ye priests that command this. Let me start over. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay in your heart to give glory unto my name, this is God's talking, said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yea, I have already cursed them, because ye did not lay it to heart. That's God speaking. And he was talking to the priest, because he said, you priest, right? This message is addressed especially to the priest. The priest was to represent God to the people and the people to God. It appeared they had failed to do the job God had for them to do. They did not have their hearts in doing the will of God. How many times we do things and our heart's not in it? But I want to let you know, if you do things, God looks at three things. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you act, God looks at three things. He looks at your heart, your attitude, and the intent that you're doing it. So he could see the real deal. So don't ever think you're fooling God. And as these priests wasn't doing it from their heart, they was just going through the motion to get what they could for themselves. Remember, the priest had got so corrupt. You know, you might need to come and make a sacrifice, and we done read and saw how God wanted the sacrifices to be. But by people always looking for an easy way out, instead of having the cow that is perfect, and God always wanted males. And see, when he said a curse, he'll curse you. You see, sometimes you were supposed to bring males, but sometimes they'll bring a female. Come on now. They will bring a female and lay it upon the altar. But you see, God knew. He said, I'll curse you. If they had fields, you know, God could shut up the rain. You know, he could let their animals not produce. Your arms is too short to box with God. They was just going on emotion. You know, some people would come there with a sacrifice that wasn't good. They had them probably start taking money under the table. Okay, just give me that sacrifice. But, you know, when you went to get a break tag and your car wasn't right, so you gave the man $10, that's how they was doing with sacrifices. And the priest was accepting it. And because the priest was accepting it and doing so much wrong, the people began to believe in their heart that they were all right with doing it. You know, sometimes you could do wrong so long till you forget what was the right part. Or what was the right way? But you got to remember the fundamental theme of the Old Testament as well as today. There's a rule of thumb, and it's just like gravity. And, you know, what you sow is what you're going to reap. And all of that it plays a part. You see, blessings for obedience and cursing for disobedience, that's not going to change. You see, you got to remember this too. Our disobedience don't just hurt us. It hurts others as well. Okay, you a big politician, you got a family, and you got grandchildren. You decided to be greedy. You get caught. You go to jail. You on the news. Your wife is embarrassed. Your grandchildren have to go to school, and everybody, you know, making fun of them. You got to realize your disobedience don't just stop with you. They were supposed to be God's agent to carry out spiritual things on this earth. God had given the priest the authority to bless the people. but they was doing so much wrong, God took the authority for them to bless the people away. So what happens now? The people don't get blessed. You know, there's a saying, the good suffer for the bad. It's not the good suffer for the bad, but in the world, the good suffer along with the bad. And the people were losing out on blessing because, you know, they probably wasn't, plenty of them wasn't right, and I ain't going to say everybody, but because of the disobedience of the priest. So we have to watch when we decide to do things wrong, how it's not going to only affect us, but how it affect others. The scripture number 3, say, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spray dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. You see that word dung? I'm going to let you know what that means, and you'll see what God's saying. You know, he must have was very furious. You see, this is a very graphic language. This very graphic language shows how God viewed the unfaithful priest, worthy of the most unthinkable disgrace. God, you know, God is loving and he's patient and he's long-suffering, but he said, okay, this is what you're going to do. You see, the word dung in this scripture is animal waste. So that's almost like doo-doo, right? It's animal waste and animals' internal parts. So what God say? You see, he said, I'm going to spray it all over your face. Now that's deep. He said the waste of the sacrificial animals are normally carried outside the camp and buried because it was considered to be unclean. But God said, I will spray the dung upon your face, and one will take you out with it. He said, I'm going to put it all over your face, and I'm going to have someone to carry you out with this all over yourself, your face before the people. God is not to be played with. And we really have to get in these scriptures and see, I brought you in the Old Testament because I wanted you to hear the voice of God. I wanted to see how God dwelt with his people. And even though he said all of this, there was always a message of hope. So this is not just beat you. This is, I'm loving on you. You remember last week he said, I love Jacob, and I love you, and I want you. He said, turn to me, and I'll turn to you. So there's always message of hope, but God is not to be played with. He said, I'm going to put it on your face, and I'm going to let somebody carry you out. You see, the priests would be discarded, and they would suffer humiliation, and they would lose their office. And you see, a priest usually couldn't lose his office. He had to die out of office. That's why they had so many priests, because you wouldn't be put out. You had to die out. But right here he's saying you're going to lose your office because you're going to be considered unclean. So how could you be a priest when you got to be clean and you got dung all over you? Hallelujah. The Lord's purpose in such a warning was to shake them out of their complacency. You see, God had lost all respect for the priest. He is speaking of them being treated like filth, which they deserve to be treated like. That way God, you know, and it's the same way in our lives, the people we know. God keep giving us warning, keep giving us hope, keep asking us to get it right. And yet some have to hit rock bottom before they wake up. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. And sometimes we have to go all the way down before we can rise up. Take heed. Save yourself and live. And the 4th verse says, and ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. This God talking again. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear within he feared me. He's talking about a good man and was afraid before my name. Talking about Levi when it started. And as the years progressed, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, I have a feeling it's going to get worse before it get better. And, you know, it's just, you know, but he's saying, you know, when he had Levi, it was all good. You see, the law was the truth in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equality, and did turn many away from iniquities. You know, he was doing what it was. You know, he was standing up as a priest, giving the word of God, not his word, but the word that God wanted him to say to people, and it led the people to righteousness. They say, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law at his mouth. For he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Saying that's what they should do. They should preach the word of God. They should preach God. But ye are, he's talking about them now. He said, that was good. That's how you should be. He said, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. That's one of the worst things in the world. The worst thing in the world, there's a scripture somewhere, I don't remember, so I can't quote it. It says, you know, it's bad enough to do wrong yourself, but to cause someone else to stumble is even worse. They say, you know, shun away from the appearance of evil doing, that you may cause someone else to stumble. But he said, you are causing many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi. That's what God told them. Now, they needed to listen to that. You see, what God was telling them, that Levi realized who I am. Do you understand who God is? Because if you understand who he is, you'll give him reverence, honor, and glory. You'll thank him for all that he has done, doing, and promised to do in your life. You'll thank him for the Son and the Holy Ghost. You're thanking for waking you up this morning, for laying you down tonight, and for waking you up again. And while you slept in slumber, no one came in and overtook you. You're thanking him every time he give you a meal. And if you got a job, when he wake you up and give you the strength to go. Come on now. See, Levi realized who God was. He was an ambassador and a messenger to take the message of God to his people. God is saying, won't y'all take and look back at Levi and use him for example? Y'all have to realize the Bible was written and God gives us many examples. When you read the Bible and you see that someone is doing what God say do, do it like they did it. If you see somebody being blessed for doing something, do those things, because if God blessed them, he'll bless you too. Because God said, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, what I do for one, I do for all. And if the word of God has a promise to it, you'll receive it. So you see, go by the example. He's telling them, look at Levi and see how he did. Learn from him and live. God was angry because not only were they deceiving themselves, but they caused so many to stumble. And the covenant that he had put in place with Levi, they had corrupted it. You know, the United States was a nation. The children of Israel is a nation, but you got to realize the United States is a nation as well. And when the United States was formed, it was formed under the Bible. You know, there's many things that the United States used at times that was in reference to the Bible. You know, on the United States money, they say, in God we trust. You know, and the United States was formed, and we had prayer in the school. But you see, now is the laws that was in place that were good, that was dealing and giving reverence unto God, they all been taken out. Marry one, a man and a woman, and a woman and a man, and now it could be two ladies and it could be two men. You know, it, you know, take the prayer out the school and no religious sign in your in the offices, and you know, it's just going on and on. It's corrupted. Because you see, you know, everything is changing. And if we look at 9, they say, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us all? Why do you deal treacherously, every man against his brother, profaning the covenant of our father? Judah had dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed to Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and has married the daughters of strange gods. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholars. He say all of them, out of the tabernacle of Jacob, and him that offered an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regarded not the offerings of any more, regarded not the offerings any more, or received it with goodwill at your hand. This is what God is saying. He said, I'm one God, and I created it all. Let's not get it twisted. They had become partial to the law. They took what part they want, they left the rest out. And they had started changing the rule, just like in the United States. You know, they had started divorcing their wives and taking the other wives from other nations. You know, that's where the Caucasian race used as keeping a thumb on the black man against their white women, because God said, marry your own kind. But he wasn't talking about white and black. He was talking about people of same values, people of same culture. And in his case, since he had a holy nation, he wanted them to be of the holy nation, because he had in there even about, you know, what he wanted them to do. You see, the people had now lost respect for the priest. Their partiality in their judgment had caused the people to actually hate them. You see what had happened? They now done got so big and so bad and think they afforded the privilege to do it like they want. You see, sometimes people have too much power and they make themselves little gods. Or sometimes they think they're a big God. They call that the God syndrome. They had one set of rules for the people and another set of rules for them. They're going to take the word out of the law that's good for them and use it against the people, and then they want to make up their own rules for themselves. Consequently, the worst shame and disgrace fell upon them. You see, they was marrying outside their race, which was an abomination to God, to daughters of strange gods, which shouldn't be done under the covenant. They then began to cry and weep as if injustice was being done to them, when God didn't want to accept what they're doing, and he wanted to tell them about themselves. They wanted to start crying and weeping and feeling, you know, a pity party, because they don't want to admit to what they was doing. I'm talking about the priests in that day. You know, golly, it ain't nothing new under the sun. They had deceived themselves by claiming the privilege of the covenant, that there was the, you know, God give you a title, and God appoint you and anoint you to have this thing. So they still was walking with their chest poked out because of who they thought they were, but they were only deceiving themselves by claiming the privilege of the covenant. You know, the covenant had a lot of privileges for the priest, but they ain't acting right. They ain't doing nothing right. They ain't pleasing God. God gonna put dung on their face, but yet they still in the midst of all their wrongdoing, in the midst of all of their doing it like they want, with all of the disrespect for God, for disgrace in his name, for stumbling the people, they want to hold on to what the covenant say who they are. But the who their covenant say who they are is not who they are, while neglecting the conditions of it, as if God was bound to bless them even while they reject the obligations to serve him. With that saying, I'll say like this, many of us feel the same way. Just because we have received eternal life and a gift of salvation and grace is upon us and mercy is guiding us, we believe we can live as we please and yet still expect the blessings and the promises of God. Now I'm doing 14, 15, and 16. And this is what they say. Yet ye say, wherefore? Here they go again, like last week. Well, where we did, what's wrong with what we're doing? Wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and thy wife. See, God ain't coming with no I, they say, he say. God say, I was a witness what you did to your wife. Because you remember, God is all seeing and all knowing. The wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Ain't treat them right. Yet, is she your companion? And is the wife, was the wife under the covenant? And did not he make one? What that mean? Made him and her one. They say when someone get married, they become one. And did not he make one? They talking about when y'all got married, in y'all youth, under the covenant, she was your wife, yet treating her treacherous, and she was your companion. Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore, and therefore, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of you. Follow your spirit and do what's right. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away for one coveted violence with his garment, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. What God is saying? God is saying, what is wrong with your wife of your youth, which is the wife of your covenant? You know, sometime when, you know, the new women had them came and they was mingling and dingling with them. You know, that's why, you know, the white people wanted to keep us separated so long. They didn't want the black men with their white women and you know, for us to teach their children, you know, how to do different things. Not that we teach them, but for us to be around them and see it and so on and so on and so on and so on and things like that. But God is saying, what is wrong with the wife of your youth, which is the wife of your covenant? You became one. Take heed to your spirit so that you can have godly children. You know, what is this telling us? We have to be careful who we marry. And he talked about spirits. You know, everybody come with spirits. You know, they say sometime when you lay down with somebody, you take all of the spirits of everybody that and lay it down with before you. You got to be careful. You see, interracial marriage and divorce was condemned by God. He even called it abomination. Here we go. You know, a couple of weeks we had abomination. We just going, that's another abomination that's in the Bible. God knew that when a man married a woman of different nation, it could be a problem. You see, women have the gift to make a man change his religion, his faith, his belief, and his mind. Remember Samson and Delilah. Come on now, y'all. Y'all know that. And even look at Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, married women of another nation and began to change for the worse. The wisest man to ever live. And when the Bible say to ever live, that means until this day there will never be anyone wiser than Solomon. And he began to marry women from other nations and began to change for the worse. And here we see there's truly nothing new under the sun. And 17 say, this is God talking again. You have reared the Lord with your words. And then you say, no, this is Malachi. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? Malachi go tell him, look, y'all weighing God, y'all making him weary. And then they go have the audacity again. Where have we reared him? And then Malachi say, when you say, everyone that do it evil is good in the sight of God, and he's delighted in them. Where is God's judgment? That's the things, Malachi coming to them about being right, and they're going to have their defenses up. When you go to tell somebody about something, they're going to tell you about something, that might have nothing to do with it, and that's what they was doing. You see, the people had the audacity to question Malachi, wherein have we wearied him, as if they was living up to the covenant. When you do wrong, we should never have a prideful attitude or question God's authority. Take your lick. No matter how much love showed towards his people, they just don't get it right. And it's been like that from the beginning of time. If you go in the garden, when God gave them everything and they did what he didn't want to do, it looked like to me there's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. They had rejected all intentions of taking right and wrong seriously. They was gone now. They was probably turned over, if y'all know what I'm talking about, to a reprobate mind. So deeply gripped by powerful self-righteousness, they had the gall to question the Lord, implying that he seemed to favor the wicked and was unconcerned about the righteous. Now, they ain't right their own self, but in their own mind they right. So if they right and everybody else doing wrong, why God don't go take care of them? All through the Bible, people was doing right, some was doing right, and some was doing wrong. And some people get a heavy heart to see that it could appear that the wicked is getting away with doing everything. You see, when you look at Jonah had to go to Nineveh. God wanted him to go to preach to help the people. He said that the people is so evil, he wanted them to be punished. That's what the priest is saying here now. God ain't doing nothing to them, so it seemed like evil is good in his sight. That's stupid. That's ludicrous. And he delights in them. And where's the judgment? Where's his judgment upon them? You see, from the beginning of time, people always wonder why God is slow to wrath. Believing the wicked is getting away with their dealing. So God must be all right with them. God is long-suffering and God and a God of many chances. It is a desire that all sorts of men be saved. But he is coming back as the righteous judge. The prophet faced them, telling them God is coming back. So you better get yourself right with him while you have time. God has lost patience with this evil generation. They say one thing and do another. Nothing new under the sun. That sounds like what's going on right now. That's why I wanted to visit the Old Testament, show you there's nothing new under the sun, and hope that each and every one of us take and this being our rightful place, being our rightful place as a residue and as a remnant in the midst of everything that's going on. Because people going to be people. And you got to remember, Satan is pumping up the volume. You see, it is not what you say with your mouth, but what you believe in your heart that pleased God. They had gone so far into sin that they did not even believe God is coming back to judge. But there's a scripture in 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4 saying, 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, some people do what they want to do, and God just don't put the gun on their face. So they think they're getting by. And they still, some people just really honest believe that they have so much more time. Whatever. But God is coming back, but he's coming back on his own timetable. Remember, God is the all-seeing eye. Nothing escape him. He is coming back, and he will judge each person on the earth. And yes, remember, there's nothing new under the sun. And that's our lesson for tonight. And it is now 9:28. And I know, well, as always, if anybody would like to make a comment, if anybody would like to offer prayer, if anybody need prayer, if anybody want to add to the lesson, it would be so nice. Because I know all of you read the second chapter, and God may have revealed something to you that you could inject in the lesson, that someone else could get it. But if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. And, you know, I open up your mic. It's just so amazing how it really is. It's just amazing. And since no one would like to make any comments or anything, oh, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Sister Diane, and I just want to say thanks for all the ladies praying for my son. He went to court, and he does have drug court. He will be disciplined, but the outcome is just wonderful, and it's the blessing of God. That's all I can say.
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle. And also, one of his childhood friends has a 9-year-old son. The childhood friend is Seth Beck now. I don't know the child's name, but he's got a brain tumor. So I'm hoping everybody will pray for the 9-year-old boy. And Sister Diane, you're so wonderful, and I'm so happy that you're here teaching us, and especially what you pointed out about racial things. It's not the color of your skin. It's like if you're unequally yoked, if you're changing from one religion to another. That's very important to point out, and people. Mess that up. That's the only way I can say. You know,
yeah,
people use their own thoughts on it. Yes, just like the priest. Yeah.
Just like the priest. It ain't nothing new.
You know,
they had took the covenant and the laws and start switching them.
Mm-hmm.
They started adding everything to the law. When they got through with the laws, they had 635. They added in what they wanted, and they probably took out what they didn't. Just like the Supreme Court is doing now, and just like our court system and everything else, man is doing whatever seems right in their own eyes. That's scriptural.
And that's very scary. It really is. Yes, yes. And it makes me, I mean, you never know when the end times are, but it makes me feel like because when I grew up, things were so much different. It makes me feel like, yeah, yeah, the rock will fall and hit the feet of the clay and on, because I feel like it is coming soon. That's just my opinion, you know.
And just like Malachi had to tell him, get it right, because God is coming back. And they thought in that Old Testament time that he had should have been there, you know, that they should have, it should have been, had happened. And we still thinking it, you know, it's going to happen. And Paul in the Bible thought it was going to happen in his day. But it's going to happen in God's time. But time, it is the end times. We are in the end times. Now, how long the end times last, I can't say that, but that's where we are. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're the teacher.
In the fourth chapter in Malachi, it's talking about God's coming back. And we have to be careful and realize, don't take this book of Malachi lightly. It is the last book in the Old Testament, and it is God's talking. God knew it was the last book, so what he said, he wanted you to pay attention to even more, because this was going to be it for such a long period of time that we're going to talk about next week. But,
and if this is not the end times, I feel sorry for our children, because if the world's going to get worse than what it is now,
it definitely will.
It's going to be a horrible place, you know.
And you see, we still have hope, because God is going to still be in control.
That's right. That's right.
We live in the world, but not of the world. So we just have to hold on to our hope that God is our sustainer in the midst of whatever it'll be.
Thank you, Sister Diane. Thank you for tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody that had been praying. That was Sister McBride. She always asks us to pray for her two sons and her grandson. And many of you have been doing it, and I know I have as well. And for her to come and give us a praise report and say that the outcome was a miracle, there is blessings in prayers. And we have to pray for one another. That's why I ask for prayers. I was asking for prayers for my sister, Jeanette, when she first started in a journey. I asked for prayers for myself and God. And I'm talking to y'all now. And we ask for prayers for Benita. And we ask in prayers for Sister Cynthia. You know, and we ask you guys, if you want us to pray for you, you are someone you know. So, and plenty of people that's on the line on Wednesdays, they let me know that they are praying for these different people. So this is just a prime example, and I thank each and every one of you for the prayers that has gone up for these people. And if you want us to pray for your need, come on, just give it to us. And, you know, we ask that everybody pray for it. And I'm going to have to start writing it down, because I got a request today, and I can't remember what it was. But thank you, Sister Diane, for that report, that we know that God did answer the prayers of the saints. You know, the Bible says the firm and effectual prayer of the righteousness availeth much. At this time, if there's anyone who would like to lead us out in prayer or make a comment to the lesson or add something to the lesson. If not, you know, next week we're going to be in Malachi, the third chapter. And I pray that everyone read your chapter. And then the next week we're going to do the fourth chapter, and we're going to be out of Malachi. And I'm asking if anybody have a request that we teach on a certain subject, you could always press the one button and give us what you would like it to be taught on, and we, you know, I'll find a way to bring it. But I thank each and every one of you with my whole heart, because the studio is lit up like a Christmas tree, and I thank God for the opportunity to go before his people. I have a caller at 225-650. I want you to know your mic is open.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to tell you that it was a blessing to hear the word, and I received it. And sometimes in life, you know, a lot of people, I feel they don't know that they're turned over to a reprobated mind. So we have to walk and let them see the light. And sometimes us as Christians, it seems like we are wrong because they already know. They don't know how wrong they are because the way we live is wrong to them, but it's right to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. So you want to talk about a reprobate mind? You got a minute?
No.
Okay.
And I would just, I just need prayer with my family and, you know, just things that's going on in my personal life. I just need more clarity. Because it's like I've had people that tell me, oh, this is going to come to pass or that's going to come to pass or this and that, but I need God to show me because, I mean, everybody else can tell me what they see, but I need God to show me myself because I don't really think, you know, he's going to show somebody else without showing me first.
God do send prophets and he do send people. Nah, not everybody come to you might be truly true, but if it's something that you've been contemplating and someone bring it to you, it could be confirmation. And if what they coming to you is true, if it's true, it's true. And then, you know, you could just rest in it. But, you know, somebody sometime, because people used to always come tell me, well, some of the things became true and some of them didn't. But, you know, they used to say, God told me this and God told me to tell you this. And, you know, sometimes I used to say, I know God, he could tell me himself. But God do sometimes send you a message through people. So don't just toss it all out. Because if what they're saying is true, it may be something you pondered in your heart. And God doesn't show us miracles and things like he did in the Old Testament because he dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, he lived inside his people. And he said, we have to become like the priests and the vessels that he could send me for you. Just like I come to help you in a need, he could connect us like that. He sometimes connects us with a word.
Okay.
Yeah, I said, don't diss all of it now. Because he do use people to bring you a word. But you got to have the spirit of discernment. And then you can determine if it's true or not. So is this Allison? I'm going to put pray for the family. And I'm going to ask all, you know, everybody on the line. This is Allison. And she's asking for prayer for her family. And she's asking for God to reveal who she is. And God will definitely do that because you can never know who you are until you know who your maker is. So always remember, the more you learned of him, the more he revealed you to you. That make sense?
Oh,
do that make
it's just like it just makes me question my whole being because I'm like, you know, how much more do I have to endure?
Well, like they say, it's not what you go through, it's who you go through it with. You got to keep placing the word of God on that going through because plenty of times we're not going through, we're going to the next thing that God has for us. And you got to remember, everything that God allow you to go through, it's come time to mature you, and sometimes it's only a test.
Right. And I know that, you know, God, you know, whatever I am going through, you know, they have to get permission anyway, because I know God has a hedge around me and he's protecting me. So I already know that God is with me, even through whatever I'm going through, but it just seems like it's just so close. But it's so distant, too, you know. So
but,
I know this.
All we could take,
I said I know this, but it's, you know, and I have faith. I have a whole lot of faith, and all I can do is stand on God's word, and that's what I do. But, you know, and sometimes I just get, if they don't get weary in what I'm doing, and sometimes I do.
Because you're human.
Yeah.
That's why. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not going through what you're going through, so I don't want to minimize what you're going through. But I could say line it up with what Job went through and see.
Yeah, I might be going through it.
You know, and that's why I said about God give us examples, and that's why he told him to use Levi. You know, he gave Levi as example, and that's what we have. You know, Joseph in the Bible, his brother sold him into slavery. He got to a place
of doing right.
Somebody lied on him, and he went to jail for all them years. But God,
the problem was
he told
the wrong people what God showed him, and they didn't want to have that fulfilled. So they did everything they could to stop him from being who God said he was. But God gave him exactly what it turned out to be for his bad, or turning around for his good. And they ended up having to be right at his feet. And guess
what? God did,
he still showed
him,
mercy to his brother, the one that put him in prison.
That's right. And what God did for them, that's what he also
he'll do for me and for everybody else.
And everybody else. So just hold on, my sister, because a change is going to come. Be strong.
You know, I know a change coming. I know a change coming, but I say, Lord. But I just want to make sure I'm humble when it do come, because I don't want to be just willy-nilly out there. I want to be able to make sure I can handle my blessing when God do bless me. I don't want to be big-headed and none of that. I want to stay humble. I don't want to, you know, I want to handle my blessing, you know, and give honor to God. I want to make sure God gets nothing but the honor through it all.
All right. Just ask him and he'll keep you that way. But you be blessed, sister, and we're going to include you in our prayer life.
Thank you for calling in. Okay.
Anyone else would like to say anything? Anyone would like to lead us out in prayer? So if not, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll end the program for the night. So, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, all I can say is thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your vessel one more time. Thank you for having enough confidence for me to go before your people. Thank you for your word that you have made so plain that we take it and not just be hearers and doers. Thank you for not letting your word return void. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're going to deliver illumination and revelation unto the people. Thank you, dear God, that you brought us here tonight and allowed us to do it one more time. Lord, it is my prayer that you look down upon our sister Allison. And, Lord, you know what she's going through. Heavenly Father, you look down upon her family and all of them and let them come together in love. Let them come together and be on one accord. Let them learn how to love on one another. In our scripture, we learn God said, why are you so treacherous to your brothers? Because he wants us to have brotherly love. Lord, you said, you know, we just should love on one another and do good towards one another and pray for one another. Lord, help her. Lord, we thank you for the praise report from Sister Diane McBride with what's going on with her son. Lord, we thank you for answering prayer. And her son's friend, the 9-year-old boy that have a tumor, dear God. Lord, we know you are a healer. We know you are, you know, we know you can fix it, dear God. You are a miracle worker, dear God. Help him, dear God, and let the child not suffer. And if it's your will, dear God, remove the tumor and let him live, dear God. It's our prayer to you. All these blessings and others in Jesus' name. You guys remember, if a prayer request comes, write the person's name down and pray for them. And God will honor you interceding for someone else. You see, when you pray for someone else, that's called interceding. You know, it's easy to pray for yourself, but how much do you pray for others? That's our program for tonight, and I want you to know, as always, God loves you, and so do I. And may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding be with you till we meet again. And if it's the Lord's will, I'll see you here next week. Pray for me that I bring a word from on high, and I'll pray for each and every one of you that will tune in to listen. So, everybody, I bid you good night in the name of our Father, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night and be blessed.